Today we're going to go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We'll be looking at the shepherd. The shepherd. Because John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we do want to thank you for this opportunity to go back into your word. And as we always ask, Lord, open up the ears of the hearers, Lord, and their eyes and their hearts to those who are listening by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bring them in the truth of your word. And once again, empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your word for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at Jesus as the true shepherd, the good shepherd, and then from that, the protection from the shepherd. But I want to start off with the shepherd. Scripture continually alerts its readers to watch for spiritual counterfeits. Jesus warned of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Elsewhere, he characterized a false shepherd as a thief and a robber. We're going to see that in John 10. Nowhere in Scripture is this more apparent than the Old Testament. Old Testament prophets who constantly warn Israel about false prophets, even rebuking the nation when they strayed by following a false leader rather than a true one. Though not as historical or dramatic as the Old, frequently the New Testament also warns against deceiving, misleading spiritual leaders. Every succeeding generation of history has proven the need for this caution. It remains a preeminent concern of God that the church be led by true appointed shepherds, by the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Charles Jefferson, he wrote in The Minister as a Shepherd, listed 7 basic functions for a genuine shepherd. He said they should love the sheep. They are to feed the sheep. They are to rescue the sheep. They are to attend and comfort the sheep. They are to guide the sheep and protect the sheep. And they are to watch over the sheep. You see, no other aspect of contemporary pastoral ministry has fallen into disuse more than the life-saving role of a watchman, a shepherd. It is vital for effective ministry, though, to recover the aspect of shepherdly vigilance that guards and protects the flock, that prevents them from spiritual carnage. The true pastor will make the safety of Christ's flock a top priority. In doing so, he will also help rid the pastoral ranks of pollution brought by unauthorized lookalikes. This is from Richard Mayhew, as he writes, the shepherd of Psalm 23. So if you will turn in your Bibles and start there. Psalm chapter 23. We all know this. Most people know this. David writes on the shepherd, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, the shepherd of Psalm 23 comforted the sheep with his rod and staff. These implements not only symbolize vigilance, but in the shepherd's hand, they are also instruments of protection and direction, which are the fruit of vigilance. The rod, it protected the flock against immediate encroaching danger. The staff served to assemble the sheep to guide them and even rescue them should they wander away. Likewise, the shepherd of Christ's flock, the church, must be vigilant. The spiritual health and integrity of the flock depend on his devotion to this phase of his responsibility. Charles Jefferson captured a protective aspect of an ancient Near Eastern shepherd's duty. The parallels to modern day shepherding for pastors are obvious to this, but unfortunately are all too often ignored. You see, the Eastern shepherd was first of all a watchman. He had a watchtower. It was his business to keep the wide open eye, constantly searching the horizon for a possible approach of foes. He was bound to be circumspect and attentive. Vigilance was a cardinal virtue. An alert wakefulness was for him a necessity. He could not indulge in fits of drowsiness, for the foe was always near. Only by his alertness could the enemy be circumvented. There were many kinds of enemies too, all of them terrible, each in a different way. At certain seasons of the year, there were floods. Streams became quickly swollen and overflowed their banks. Swift action was necessary in order to escape the destruction. There were enemies of a more subtle kind too. Animals, vicious and treacherous. Lions, bears, hyenas, jackals, and wolves. There were enemies in the air too. Huge enemies of prey were always soaring aloft, ready to swoop down upon a lamb or a kid. And then, the most dangerous of all, were the human birds of prey. They were robbers, bandits, men who made a business of robbing sheepfolds and murdering the shepherds. The Eastern world was full of perils, trouble. It teemed with forces hostile to the shepherd and his flock. You see, we're going to see it by Scripture that Ezekiel, Jeremiah, you can also look up Isaiah and Habakkuk, talked about the shepherds. They were called to be watchmen. They were to warn and to save. But in John chapter 10, we're going to see Jesus, the perfect example of the true shepherd for me and you to look at this morning. So once again, let's go to John chapter 10 and read verses 1 through 30. John 10, verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verse 7 of John 10. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters him. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, here in John chapter 10, Jesus has contrasted himself with the false prophets, the false shepherds of the day. You see, by Scripture, we see that Jesus is the true shepherd, the good shepherd, and the protecting shepherd. You see, in your bulletins, that's the three I laid out here from John 10. Number one, Jesus was the true shepherd. Verses 1 through 6, once again, of John 10 says, Most assuredly I say to you, He who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke. You see, he was the true shepherd. Over in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 25 says, For you were like sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You see, Jesus is the only one who is qualified to be the shepherd and overseer of your souls. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4 says, The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Peter says, Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, which we know is Christ, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You see, Jesus is the only true shepherd, the chief shepherd, the overseer of our souls. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. The text states, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." You see, the mediator is a concept derived from ceremonial worship prescribed in the Old Testament. If we recall, in the tabernacle and later in the temple, the priest mediated between God and the Israelites by offering animal sacrifices to atone for the sins of the people by interceding for them with God for the nation. But now, the one mediator is the man Christ Jesus. There is one God from whom salvation is available. There is only one way to Him through the mediator, Christ Jesus. No other way. Jesus is the true shepherd. Let's look at a warning about false shepherds. Let's go back to the Old Testament. A warning from God about false shepherds. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23 verse 1 through 2. It says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord." In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 56, verse 9 through 12, talks about Israel's irresponsible leaders. Isaiah 56, verse 9 through 12. Says, "All you beasts of the field, come to devour. All you beasts in the forest, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds, who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain, from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant." A warning to the false shepherds. Over in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1 through 11. This talks about the watchman and his message. Ezekiel 33. "Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, When I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take the warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes a warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his own iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul." Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? I want to read to you from John MacArthur's Study Bible of the watchman from Ezekiel 33. This is a spiritual watchman, he says, that once a watchman did his duty, the responsibility passed to each person. Each person is accountable for his own response to God's warnings, whether to die in judgment or to live as one who heeded the warning and repented. You see, Ezekiel had been a very faithful and obedient watchman. And a prophet who sounded the warning of repentance for sin was not to be judged. But one who failed to deliver the message was held accountable. This referred to unfaithfulness on the part of the prophet, for which he bore responsibility and was chastened by God. You see, Jesus was a perfect example of the true shepherd. He warned the people of his day to repent. Same as under shepherds, pastors today, we need to speak to the people about God's Word and what He says about sin. We need to warn them. Let's go to the book of Acts and look at Paul's warning. Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 17 and go down through verse 31. This is Paul's exhortation to the Ephesian elders. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through 31. The text states, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they came to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in a ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I now gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. You see, Paul, working under the true shepherd, as an under-shepherd, gave the warning. He did not fail to teach the whole counsel of God. Their blood was not on his hands. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, let's go there, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." He says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Here in the study Bible, the Nelson Study Bible, it says, the way to tell false teachers from teachers of the truth is by their fruits. Fruits here refers more than their deeds. It includes their doctrine. You see, a person speaking in the name of God is to be tested by his doctrines of Scripture. The same principle still holds true today. Speakers and teachers should be tested against the truth in God's Word of what they are teaching. If you are an under-shepherd to the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, we are supposed to teach the whole counsel of God. Back to John 10. John chapter 10. So we looked at the true shepherd. Now let's look at the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 16. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Let's look at this one flock. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, please. Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 22. See, Jesus is a good shepherd, the only door, the only way to salvation, eternal life. Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 22. "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called a circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now," verse 13, "but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Verse 19. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, the fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So Jesus had other sheep to bring into his fold, the Gentiles, to break down the middle wall of separation that the Jews and Gentiles could worship God together. And we all know John 14:6. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost over in Acts chapter 2. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 36. Acts 2:36-41. Acts 2:36-41. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucify, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is in you, is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Verse 40 of Acts 2. "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Acts 4:12. The text says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." We know that is Jesus Christ. So we see that Jesus is the true shepherd. We see that Jesus is a good shepherd, the door to salvation. And number three, let's look at the protection supplied by the shepherd. John 10:27-28. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Once again, I want to share with you from a commentary of the Study Bible, John MacArthur. "The security of Jesus' sheep rests with him as the good shepherd, who has the power to keep them safe. Neither thieves or robbers, nor the wolf, can harm them. Verse 29 makes clear that the Father ultimately stands behind the sheep's security, for no one is able to steal from God, who is in sovereign control of all things. No stronger passage in the Old Testament or New Testament exists for the absolute eternal security of every true Christian than these two. That nobody can snatch them out of his hand. That's the protection of the shepherd. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 on this eternal security, Romans chapter 8, verse 31-39. He says, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him so also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now let's look at verse 38 and 39. Paul's going to tell us about this security. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Jesus said over in John chapter 6, verse 39 through 40, John 6, 39 through 40, says, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So the shepherd, Jesus Christ is a true shepherd. He's a good shepherd, the door to salvation, and He is a protecting shepherd that protects His own. And let's conclude. I want to conclude with 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. A warning. An exhortation. Because as an under-shepherd, we must be about the Father's business. As under-shepherds of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, we must be about our duties. The duties of watching and warning the sheep. And over in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, it says, "Beloved," 1 John 4, 1 through 6, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." As one writer states, says, "Be assured that it is good to protect the flock from false teachers, untrue doctrine, and personal sin. They will find comfort in your diligent protection. If you begin by preaching the whole Scripture, the whole counsel of God, then the process of watching and warning will take place in a normal course of ministry, because His saints receive warnings through the truth of God's Word." You see, Paul, the courageous shepherd, had only a few fears. Let me read you one of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Paul states, "But I am afraid, lest as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." You see, as good servants of Jesus Christ, we will share this fear with Paul, not as a sign of weakness or cowardice, but as a significant demonstration of spiritual strength coupled with a clear sense of spiritual reality. To do less will result in hollow ministry and would invite Christ's displeasure with our service, and would also endanger the spiritual health of the flock. You see, their blood would then be on our hands. Because a flock is very often susceptible to deception. The under shepherds of Jesus Christ must remain vigilant. You see, Jesus Christ stands as the ultimate shepherd and guardian of our souls. Today's under-shepherds could do no better than to follow His example of watching and warning the sheep. To do less would be unbiblical, as I paraphrase. Let's pray. Father, as we come to closure this morning with this sermon, I want to thank You for Your Word. I want to thank You, Christ, for being the chief shepherd. For showing us by Your Word how to be under shepherds. And I pray for the pastors out there right now that are not being diligent of watching and warning those You entrusted to them. I pray that You'll awaken them. Burden their hearts as Paul was burdened. As he spoke to the Ephesian elders, he said, as we read, he did not fail to present to them the whole counsel of God, and that he's afraid that after he left, that there would be false prophets that would come in to deceive the people. I pray, Father, that You'll keep Your true under shepherds awake to that. Help us never to compromise Your Word to the will of the people, but to stand boldly on the foundation of Scripture and to proclaim the Word of God boldly. That way we can say as the Apostle Paul, Your blood is off my hands. And I pray to those that's listening, the layman, for the person sitting in the pew, that You'll speak to them and let them be excited about the true under-shepherds that proclaim the whole counsel of God to them, that they support them, that they uphold them in prayer and stand behind them. And also, as they look at them as examples, they go out and they stand boldly on Your Word. And they will not compromise Your Word for the will of man. But I pray, Father, as we do that, that everything we do in our actions and deeds will glorify You. Empower us by Your Holy Spirit to do this for Your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.